since the Sandbox Fans, the regular season has concluded, and we're here talking about the playoffs. It's Wild Card Weekend. We're here with the preview, some X Factors, and we're going to make some predictions.
No Lou.
No Lou.
Lou's on the IR. We officially put Lou on the Since the Sandbox IR. He's out for the season.
We're going to get into the first game, and we know how the Wild Card Weekend works. It starts on Saturday, and luckily for us, continues all the way through Monday. The first game on Saturday is the Seahawks versus the 49ers, a division game and a matchup that we really weren't expecting to see, especially with, you know, the outcome with Green Bay and the Lions. You definitely thought, you know, one of those two teams were going to get in. But Seattle did the unthinkable. You know, they traded Russell Wilson and just found a way to get back into the playoffs after. Now, Kev, I'm going to share some X factors for both teams. But I'm going to start with Seattle. And there are some key factors that Seattle can try and do to slow down San Francisco. I think one thing is they have to keep it low scoring. I think we've seen, you know, the way that San Francisco has won games as of recently, and I just don't think Seattle's going to win a shootout with them. I just don't. And that's not because Brock Purdy's so talented. Their offense is just lethal, and they have depth. So that's just something that Seattle doesn't have. Seattle has to play mistake-free football. We can't be fumbling. We can't be turning the ball over. We can't have any missed field goals or extra point attempts, and we can't have special team mishaps. Like, if there's a kick that is going to be in play, like, let's play that and get the most yards. If it's going to be a touchback, take the touchback and let the offense go out there and do their thing. No stupid penalties, and your defense has been good all year. The third time facing this team, you guys should definitely be able to keep it competitive. The last one for the Seattle Seahawks. Get Kenneth Walker going. Establishing the run and keeping the 49ers off the field will help keep it low scoring and take away points from the 49ers. So those are my X factors for Seattle to win this game. I think it's very unlikely for that to be the case, and I do have the 49ers winning this game, but I'll let you share before I continue with the 49ers.
How I did it was I only did X factors for the winning team, what it's going to take to win. So I do have San Fran winning the game. I think the biggest X factor is Purdy. I think tough position to be in as a rookie, you know what I mean, or as a first-time starting quarterback to go into the playoffs. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, but I think if he just takes care of the ball, doesn't have any turnovers, I think San Fran's D is good enough where that offense will just be able to generate points because they're going to have the ball so much. So I have San Fran winning 30-17.
Oh, wow. Score prediction and all. I love that.
So that score predictions for every game.
That covers the spread for you know, the spread of minus 10. Now, Kev, just talking about Purdy, because I feel like he's, you know, a big part of this conversation in this game. You know, this is Mr. Irrelevant, someone that was selected the last pick in the draft. Now, coming in the playoff environment, that's something different. Luckily, San Fran's home this game. Do you think the 49ers are completely depending on Brock Purdy to win this game?
I don't think they're completely depending on him to win this game. I don't think he needs to do anything special. I think, like I said, he just needs to control the time on offense. You know what I mean? Control the huddle, control the timing, and just take care of the football. Like I said, if there's no mishaps on that offense as far as like fumbles or, you know, muffed punts or anything like that, as long as he doesn't throw an interception, I could see San Fran winning this game handily. Because that's all they need. You got Christian McCaffrey, you know what I mean? You got the wide receivers, you got George Kittle, and most of them have playoff experience. So they know what it takes, you know what I mean? So if he can just, like I said, control the timing, control the pace, control the offense, and just take care of the ball, like I said, I don't see Seattle doing much because San Fran's defense is that good as well. So even when Seattle gets the ball.
For San Francisco and the X factors for them to win this game, I think they have to establish McCaffrey early. I feel like that offense is its best when they're able to use him however they want. And I haven't seen too many runs where he's honestly gotten the ball and been stuffed at the line of scrimmage. You know, he gets chunk plays. He helps set up the play action. And that gets me to my next X factor for the 49ers. And keep Kittle involved. I mean, I think that since Brock Purdy has become the quarterback for the 49ers, he's been one of the most explosive playmakers in the entire National Football League. And I would argue that after Week 10, he's been a better tight end than Travis Kelce, if you want me to be honest. Kittle's been balling. He's gone multiple touchdowns in multiple games over the past, you know, 7 weeks. I definitely think you have to keep him going. And the last one is get pressure on Geno. Geno was a great quarterback this year, top five finish for fantasy quarterbacks, and you know he helped get Seattle to the playoffs. Those are things that he's never done before. But if you get pressure on him, it's going to make him think. And when you're a quarterback and you think and you get the happy feet, that allows things to go differently. I also think the 49ers win this game. I think they cover the spread of minus 10, and I have a score prediction of 34-17 San Fran. Going to the next game, Chargers versus Jags. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this one, Kev. This is a really close game. The spread is only one, minus one LA, plus one the Jaguars, and we'll see, you know, how that works out later on in the week, but I have the Chargers X factors first, and what I think is most important for the LA Chargers is feeding Eckler and Allen. We know that Mike Williams is banged up, right? And the defense isn't the team's forte. We know that. Justin Herbert's a gunslinger, and for them to win this game, I think they're going to have to score points. If you get Eckler going and he's getting 5 yards per carry and Keenan Allen has 7-8 catches, then I think you're going to be able to, you know, get the best out of those two players. My next one. Keep Trevor Lawrence inside the pocket. If you look at his stats from week 10 on, outside the pocket are all top three in the NFL. Accuracy, yards, touchdown, QBR, percentage, whatever stat you want to look at. That's why the Jaguars have been able to score so efficiently and effectively. As a unit, Doug Peterson, he's still kind of getting used to these guys and what it's going to be like. 20 weeks may seem like a long time, but you have no idea, you know, the ins and outs, the factors that implicate those 20 weeks. And for the Chargers, I think it's extremely important to win on special teams. You're going to have to get some wins on all sides of the ball. You know, you're talking about in the passing game, the running game, defense. You're going to have to get some sacks. You're going to have to get some run stops, pass deflections. All of that's going to be extremely important. But special teams really makes a break a team in the playoffs. Look at the Patriots last week, Kev. You watched the game. You're a Buffalo Bills fan.
Yeah.
How hard is it to overcome two kick returns in a game, right?
Yeah.
If you win on special teams, you get your field goals, you get your extra points, you don't get penalties, unnecessary penalties at least. You know, that's also going to help set a bad field position for Jacksonville and make them have long drives. All that is extremely important is going to keep their scoring efficiency lower. Bigger challenges, harder drives. All that is important for the LA Chargers.
So I got Jacksonville winning this game.
I do too.
I got them winning 30-27.
Wow, close game.
And I think the biggest X factor for them is just neutralizing Eckler. Eckler is arguably the best two-way running back as far as like pass catching and running in the league. Maybe Alvin Kamara above him or guys like that. But he's one of the best in the league. So if you can neutralize him, that Chargers offense, if you look at like all the games they've been in trouble in or not putting up points, is either when he was banged up or when teams were just shutting him down. You know what I mean? So if Jacksonville can shut him down, or not even shut him down, but just neutralize him, you know what I mean? I think they can win. I think they can outscore the Chargers if they can limit Eckler. You know what I mean? He can't be having, you know, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 30 yards.
Has that impact, they'll never win that game. But I also have the Jaguars winning this game, and I'll get to that after I share my X factors for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think for Jacksonville to win this game, they have to score at will, just like they have been. They need to keep an efficient and effective offense. Zay Jones needs to be involved. Evan Ingram needs to be involved. These guys need to get the ball. The offense is at their best when those guys are getting the ball 3, 4, 5 times a game. So get it to them, set up ETN, and use Christian Kirk inside the slot and on the deep balls. Trevor Lawrence has had really improved play, and the future looks promising in Jacksonville. My last X factor here is shut down Eckler. I mean, I honestly think he's the most important player on the field. If you want me to 100%. Be honest, you know, Lawrence, he's great. Herbert, he's great. If Austin Eckler is doing whatever he wants in between the hashes and in between the sidelines, it's over. They don't stand a chance. He's the best player, but it doesn't always come down to that when it comes to playoff football. My prediction is Jaguars win, and they cover the spread of minus one. That wraps it up for our Saturday games. Before we get to our Sunday games, guys, make sure to go to censusandbox.net and get your new merch. We got the Census Sandbox hoodies. We got some crewnecks and some beanies. Stay warm, stay fly, stay fresh with Census Sandbox this winter.
And if anyone can guess what's in my cup in the comments, free Census Sandbox hoodie on me. I'll buy it for you.
Wow! Guys, if you know Kev.
One guest. Yeah. I mean, sorry, one guest. One guest. Leave them in the comments. What do you think is in YS's cup?
Wow. Listen.
And you have to be specific as well.
Okay. That's going to take us talking into the Bills. So Kev must be feeling good off of what's in that cup.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be talking about the Dolphins and the Bills. And Miami's on the road this game. Kev, I know you're getting a little excited, but pipe down a little bit. No, I'll just play it. This is a different game for the Dolphins because we still have no idea what's going on with Tua. And obviously, you know, that's the biggest question mark and impact in this game, you know, to determine win and loss. But what I will say is playing a division opponent three times in a year is never something that you should be comfortable with. I know Buffalo is eons better than Miami, and Miami was 8-3 and ended up only winning one game through the last 10 weeks in the season. Kev, you talked about this weeks ago. But for the Dolphins, you have to continue to force Josh Allen to throw or commit red zone turnovers. Kev, you've been screaming at the TV all year. Every single time it's happened, because it's been such a doofus, like, stupid play. It really has. And it's happened time and time again, and that's kind of what separates, you know, the Allen and the Mahomes. Is Mahomes makes a mistake, and it might be more impactful or less impactful, but that mistake sits with him until he corrects it. And, you know, Josh Allen is still a little bit younger, but, you know, his talent and playmaking ability is just as good as Mahomes. So, you know, if he can cut out, you know, those turnovers and inaccurate passes, that's a different Bills offense as a whole, especially when you talk about efficiency. For the Dolphins, try and have a gunslinging offense. If Tua is out here, that's the most realistic way for this to happen. Got to score points, points, points. Get it in the playmaker's hands. You have two of the best wide receivers with yards after the catch in Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Get it to them. In the middle of the year, Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, they were successful rushing the ball. And Kev, I know you're obviously predicting the Bills to win this game, but you have to admit that both of those guys were impactful in that system. The last one, the most important X factor of them all. Miami's only chance to win this game is if they keep the Buffalo Bills under 20 points. They stand they stand no chance beating Buffalo. Yeah, I know. They stand no chance beating Buffalo with anything over 20 points, if you want me to be honest. So those are my X factors for the Miami Dolphins. I do not have them winning this game, and I don't think it's going to be close, especially if Tua doesn't play. But we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, so I got the Bills winning. It's actually funny because this is like the only team that like I low-key didn't want to play. Just because like,
really?
The first two games have been so close. Obviously, they beat us the first game. We beat them by, you know, a last minute drive in the second matchup. So they know how to play us. Obviously, if Tua doesn't play, that's huge. But at the same time, I think the Buffalo Bills are one of those teams that you don't want to play three times in a year. You know what I mean? They're going to get the best of you hard, you know, the third time around. So I think the Bills win 33-24. So I think the Dolphins.
Oh, so they don't cover the spread, though.
I don't think they cover the spread. I think that's a big spread. That's a big spread for a playoff game, especially when they're playing a division
opponent
that's already beat them. You know what I mean? So, but I think the biggest X factor is the biggest one, like you said, got to limit the turnovers if you're Josh Allen. This is a game where you just got to throw it away and take the field goal instead of trying to force it in there or just you're getting sacked so you throw the ball up. Just throw it out of bounds, man.
Yeah.
You know, we got Tyler Bass. And then the second thing is getting pressure on the quarterback, even whether it's 2-0, no matter who it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, people forget, and this, I'm not even saying this to be an asshole, but the Bills are how the whole Tua injury downfall started. You know what I mean? They're the ones that he was messed up. We messed him up in that first game, and then he went out against, I think, the Ravens or something for good. But that's what we do. We get pressure on the quarterback, and especially if it's a second or third string quarterback, and you have to get pressure on him because no matter who's quarterbacking, if you give Waddle or Tyreek Hill 7-8 seconds to get open, they're going to get open and the quarterback's going to find them. So you got to get pressure on the quarterback, force turnovers, force throwaways, whatever you got to do.
Absolutely. Getting to my X factors for the Bills, I also agree that Buffalo wins this game. And it is a big spread, but I do think that Buffalo's vision and image and their goal for this season is way past Miami.
Yeah.
And I understand, you have to get through Miami to achieve those goals.
Right.
That's clear, that's obvious.
It's
but
also like the momentum shifted, you know what I mean, too, after the Bengals game. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm happy you brought
like,
that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy you brought that up because that's my first X factor here. Is you have to continue to carry momentum. Not only is this game important about winning, but it's how you win, the way you win, what you set yourself up for the next week. All of that's extremely important in this game because this is more to Buffalo than just a wild card game. And there's a lot of impact with Buffalo, and you know, there's heavy hearts with Hamlin, and there's a lot of motivated teammates in probably a whole area of New York that's extremely motivated, and much more than that, because I haven't talked to a single person that hasn't said anything bad about DeMar Hamlin and that whole scenario. But on top of that, Kev, I talked about it a little bit with Miami. These X factors kind of go hand in hand. It has to be mistake-free football for the Buffalo Bills. It's not just for this week. Josh Allen's career, we need to see the mistake-free football. And Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers in the NFL. But we can't afford a special teams fumble from Nyheim Hines. And he was great last week. But
that's what scares me. I feel like he's due for a fumble.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. But to get to my last point, establish the run. Kev, you just talked about James Cook as your rising star in our fantasy football award show. I've been talking about James Cook all season. He's probably somebody I'm going to keep in fantasy leagues because his potential, if he actually gets a full workload in that offense, it's going to be scary. Like, this dude has been impactful off of 8 to 10 touches just this year. This dude's caught touchdowns. He's carried the rock. I mean, James Cook is an absolutely do-it-all back for the Buffalo Bills that just hasn't been unleashed yet. And Devin Singletary, like you also said, has been playing good football this year. But let's add different elements to Buffalo Bills. And if they're in this for the Super Bowl, establishing the run is important right now. It's not important versus Kansas City when you're trying to win time of possession. Mm-hmm. It's not important versus the Bengals if you're trying to control the clock. It's important right now when you're trying to win a game in a dominant style and send a message to the rest of the NFL that's watching. Get into the next game. Giants versus Vikings. Let's go, G-Men! Back in the playoffs for the first time since 2016. It feels good. It feels great. And I'm so happy we're playing Minnesota. Minnesota's frauds! Guys, I just gave you guys my recap from my before the season division standings in, you know, just bold predictions that we talked about and some stat leaders and things like that. The Giants already played Minnesota. They have Kirk Cousins, who, out of all years, just chose this year to get lucky. Pull away one-score games, win primetime matchups. They have a rookie head coach that's done an excellent job. Like, let's not take that, you know, for granted. But if you have to beat us with Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne, I don't think that the Minnesota Vikings can do that. And this is a team, you know, out of all the teams in the NFC, I feel like this is the team I want to play the most. Like, if you put me up against Brady, like, yeah, I get it. You know, the Bucs weren't a great team, but you're going against Tom Brady. I'd rather go against Kirk Cousins in the playoffs than Tom Brady. And, you know, you can go up and down the board with all of that, but I'm going to go with the Giants X factors first, and you guys just have to understand and spend a little extra time talking about them because this is what I do. This is why I love football. The Giants have to have zero turnovers. We're talking about on all facets of New York Giants football on Sunday, right? Daniel Jones needs to play flawless. Saquon Barkley needs to perform. We need to have, you know, either Darius Slayton or Isaiah Hodgins or whoever the hell is going to be catching balls for the New York Giants this week to go out there and run the best routes that they've ever ran. No special team mishaps, no penalties, and the defense is going to be extremely important. Our offense needs to succeed on first and third down. Now, I get it, right? First and third down, you're only talking about three downs in a series. But if you're getting 4 yards on first down, it's going to set you up for easy third down. With the playbook a lot more wide open than what it usually would be if you're talking about third and seven or longer. If the Giants can win on these downs and can effectively run the ball, even with Breida's been solid. If we can do that and we can control the game versus the Vikings, that's going to be extremely important. My last one, you have to double Justin Jefferson. I mean, you're talking about the NFL's offensive play in the year. Last time we played the Vikings, we did a great job going against Justin Jefferson. He still caught a touchdown. You can't completely negate any of his impact, but you can limit it, yes. Dalvin Cook's banged up. If Madison's seeing a lot of the load, I don't think that Madison's going to beat the Giants, especially with how good our defense has been. Those are my X factors for the New York Giants.
So I have the Vikings winning.
Wow, Kev.
I do. It is what it is. I think this will be the closest game of the week, though, definitely. And I can see the Giants pulling it off, too. But got to pick a winner, so I picked the Vikings. I got them winning 24-20. So I got the Giants close keeping game. It close. That's why maybe one possession can make or break the game. I think the biggest X factors
Actually, I put one for the Giants here, is pressure on Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Kirk Cousins, except for this year, was notorious for not playing well in prime time, and what's more prime time than the playoffs? You know what I mean? So put pressure on him again. Like I said with the Buffalo game, if you can get pressure on Kirk Cousins, make him throw it away, make him throw tipped balls and things like that, especially if they do decide to double Justin Jefferson, then like you said, with Dalvin being out, I don't know if that offense will be able to generate points like they normally do. But I think the biggest X factor for the Vikings, obviously, is neutralizing Saquon. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that the Giants go as Saquon go. You know what I mean? And this is one of those games where if you're the Giants, you're going to be like, listen, no pressure, but pressure. You know what I mean? Like, you got to step it up. Not even step it up, because he has stepped it up. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, they need Saquon to have 100 yards. They need him to have at least one touchdown, a couple catches out of the backfield. You know what I mean?
100%.
They need it.
And like, this is when football gets great, right? Because the Vikings know Saquon is their offense, and Saquon knows that the Vikings are preparing for him.
Right.
So it's like, best on
David
best.
Versus Goliath.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see what happens. Over to my X factors for the Vikings. And look, I'm a Giants fan. I eat, sleep, and breathe New York Giants football. It is what it is. If there's anyone that knows how to beat the Giants, it would be me, because I've literally just run through scenarios. I've seen all the ways that we've lost. I've seen the ways that we won. A lot of different things can happen. First X factor for the Minnesota Vikings. Make it a shootout. If your offense is that explosive, you can score points like you have all season. If you have the offensive player of the year, put up the points. Giants aren't going to beat you in a shootout. The Giants are going to beat you if you stay in a close competitive game like you predicted. Mm-hmm. If it's a 3 or 4 point game, I like the Giants' odds to come back in the fourth quarter. We've seen that they've done that multiple times throughout the year. Minnesota's also done that. My next X factor, you already talked about it, Kev. Slow down Saquon. You're not going to stop him. Just like you're not going to stop Justin Jefferson, you're not going to stop Saquon. But if you can negate what he does after the catch, after contact in a rush, all of that's important. If you're on the 3-yard line, there's not going to be enough motivation that's going to get Saquon stopped before that goal line. So if they get in the red zone, I expect them to be effective. My last one, keep Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes in the pocket. He has been so consistent with running the football, and it has added a tremendous element to the New York Giants offense. You know, the read option gets, you know, chunk plays when we need it and gets us in field goal range. All of that's, you know, absolutely crucial, and it helps set up, you know, the play action. It helps set up, you know, the handoffs to Breida. So Daniel Jones has been really explosive with his feet. You know, it's kind of been a slept-on factor to his game, his skill set. If you're the Minnesota Vikings, keep him inside the pocket. My prediction, look, I understand you guys will probably think that this is a biased pick. I would have predicted the Giants to lose if I actually thought that they were going to lose. I projected them to have 6 wins this year. Like, come on. I think the Giants upset the Vikings. That means they cover the spread, and I think it is a close game, and I honestly can't see, you know, a way that this is a blowout. Minnesota just really hasn't impressed me like that. 2 games left in wild card weekend. Ravens at Bengals. Should be going to this game if I wasn't getting my wisdom teeth out on Monday. Uncle Tony, friend of the show, cousin of the show, family of the show, whatever you want to call it, has tickets, and he went to the game versus the Steelers, where the Ravens got daggered by Najee Harris, the last play of the game.
Might have to join Tony, man.
Yeah?
As long as he promises to watch the Bills game when he's playing, go to a bar or something, catch the game.
I think that's something that could happen. You're going to have to hit him up after the show. The Ravens,
I'm a Cincy man.
The Ravens are going to have to run the ball. This is extremely important. You don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to play or not. Mm-hmm. If I had to assume, with him being in a contract year and not having anything guaranteed, he's not going to put himself on the line. Yeah. They're probably just not saying that he's out so that they can game plan for somebody else. Yeah. If Anthony Brown's the quarterback for the Ravens, they stand no chance. Mm-hmm. If Huntley's there and they keep it low scoring, where there's a will, there's a way. Mm-hmm. So they have to run the ball. They have to control the clock to keep the Bengals' offense off the field. The Ravens need to have special team success. You know, the past couple of weeks, we saw some blocked field goals that, you know, happened on Justin Tucker attempts. We haven't seen, you know, the most successful special teams play. And, you know, their defense has been pretty solid all year. But the past couple of weeks, we saw some mishaps that just aren't acceptable. That defense, that Ravens defense, needs to shut down the passing game. I've been going back and forth with Anthony all year because he still considers Marlon Humphrey as a top five corner in the league. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Is Marlon Humphrey still a top five corner in the league? Let us know right now. But I don't think so. I mean, when you talk about all these young guys, right? You got Sauce, J.C. Horn. You got Pat Surtain in Denver. That's without naming any big name guys. I know you're not a Ramsey fan, but you got the Darius Slays. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good corners in the NFL. Marlon Humphrey's up there. He's definitely in that top 10 conversation. But if the Ravens don't shut down this passing game, they stand no chance of keeping up with the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. We all know what the strength of the Bengals are. We all know what they're doing. There's no disguise. This is a team that's highly motivated. They didn't get to play that game versus the Bills when I'm sure that they were looking forward to that chess match, especially where they can play each other in this playoffs. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work out in their favor. Yeah. They could be playing a road playoff game due to a coin toss. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a lot of extra motivation that comes along with all of that.
Yeah. I know, and I feel like Cincinnati, like the Bengals, I feel like are just as affected. I mean, obviously not just as affected as this is the Buffalo Bills are, but like they were on the field when all that went down too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure a lot of those players.
And this is also a team that was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's
last
what I'm
year.
Saying. So like, there's a lot. But I think I got the Bengals winning the game. I'm sorry, Uncle Tony. I got them winning 34-17.
Wow, he wants to come to the game with you and just celebrate it in your face, Anthony.
I'll wear my Josh Allen jersey in the game, too. I'll get booed everywhere.
Yeah, legit.
And I think the biggest X factors is get Mixon going early. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of the times it's either Mixon's going off for 200 yards, 150 yards and a touchdown, or they're not using him at all. You know what I mean? And sometimes I'm watching the game and I'm like, is Mixon even playing? Is he hurt? But like, he's on the field. He's just not getting the ball. So get him going early. That's just going to help the offense, open up the defense, and then Joe Burrow will be able to sling it all over the field. And then the O-line, you know what I mean? The O-line stepped it up the second half of the year, but they need to continue to play good. You know what I mean? If this is a game where you allow Joe Burrow to get sacked 4, 5, 6 times, that's going to put pressure on him, cause the interceptions that have been a problem of his in the past. And if the Ravens keep it close, like, anything can happen. You know what I mean? So O-line has to keep playing solid and give Burrow time to throw. And if they do that, I think he'll be able to sling it all over the Ravens.
Yeah, it's something like we have to keep in mind. This is another division game. Mm-hmm. This is the third time these teams are seeing each other. And in this division, in the AFC North, it's all blood. There's no love here.
Yeah,
like there's not going to be, you know, oh, hey, like, let me help you get up. Like, when you're down, they'll spit on you and then they'll kick you. Yeah. And then they'll do it the next play, too. Literally. It's literally what goes down in the AFC North. But the Bengals X factors here, just score at will. I mean, the Ravens defense is good. It's solid. They have a lot of playmakers. But if you're the Bengals that were in the Super Bowl last year, if you're the Bengals that were motivated to beat the Bills on Monday Night Football, if you're the Bengals that are considered a contender this year, then you could score at will versus the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. You have to force the Ravens to pass the ball. If you lose to the Ravens, it's because they were able to successfully run the ball. Mm-hmm. If you force the Ravens to beat you in the passing game, who's going to beat you? DeSean Jackson just got cut, and he was literally their best wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You're relying on DeMarcus Robinson, who was the fifth string guy on the Chiefs 2 years ago, to beat you. It's not going to happen. I get it. Mark Andrews is a really good option at the tight end position. I'm not taking anything away from that. But when it comes down to it, Huntley or Anthony Brown aren't throwing the ball 20 times a game.
Right.
It's not going to. If it does happen, the Bengals will win.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Uh-huh. The last X factor for the Bengals, arguably the most important one. You can't look on to next week. You mm-hmm. can't look over this game. The Baltimore Ravens, regardless if they went to the Super Bowl or not, would do anything just to beat the Bengals this game. Mm-hmm. They really would.
Yeah.
So you cannot think about next week. Do not take this game for granted. The Baltimore Ravens might be, you know, a team that wasn't as good as you might have expected, but if you take them for granted, they're going to punch you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati Bengals, take care of business. Get the win and cover the 6.5 spread. Before we get into the last game, guys, go and check out all of the Census Sandbox content. We have so many episodes. Our positional ranking series is starting to you guys real soon. Make sure you stay in tune. Go and subscribe to YouTube, join our private group on Facebook, and toss us a follow on Instagram. Just got over 2,000 followers. Cowboys at Bucks. There's a lot in this game. There really is. And this is gonna be a good game. I wish I wasn't going to be, you know, sedated sitting on the chair with my wisdom teeth
I'll
out.
I'll be pre-gaming for that game. Don't work on Monday.
Legit. But I'm gonna have my wisdom teeth out. It's going to be, you know, a day of torture until this game comes on. But Cowboys at Bucks, to start with the Cowboys X factors, let's keep a balanced offense for the Cowboys, right? And I feel like this is a team that has all year played up and down to their competition. Mm-hmm. The Bucks, I honestly think that the Bucks were the worst playing team that made it into the playoffs this mm-hmm. year. I know that they just got in last week with one game over the rest of their division, but if you stay balanced, it's going to help you, you know, just not beat yourself, right? Yeah. Your running backs, Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott, I mean, these are the guys that have carried you all year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, CeeDee Lamb's been great. You know, he caught 1,400 receiving yards, but they need to make sure that the pass catching ability from the running backs is involved in this game. Mm-hmm. There needs to be an efficient and effective offense from the Cowboys through four quarters. If this game stays close and Brady's down a touchdown with 2 minutes left, you could chalk it up and shut the game off. You know how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. You really do. And I hope, with all the people that I'm going to be watching this game with, nothing more than Tom Brady losing this game. But if the Cowboys are the playoff Cowboys, it's going to be interesting. My last X factor for the Cowboys: shut down the passing game. Look, Leonard Fournette's great. He was on my fantasy team. We got a championship. That's what's up, right? You have to make sure that you're not getting beat from Godwin and Evans. Extremely important. If Brady gets going, if Brady's throwing for 250, 300 in this game and a couple of tutties, the momentum's just going to carry. Mm-hmm. This game this is the Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Everything is on the line here, and I just don't see, you know, the talent equaling up from the Cowboys to the Bucks. I really don't, but craziest shit has happened.
So I got the Cowboys winning the game. 34-24.
Okay.
All right. Biggest only X factor I have, like you said, got to get Pollard and Zeke going. If you try to outpass Tom Brady in the playoffs, it's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? Mike Evans is healthy. Chris Godwin's healthy. You know what I mean? That's all he needs. He only needs one guy, let alone two. You know what I mean? Got to get the run game going. That's the one thing that they have head over heels against Tampa Bay, is the run offense. You know what I mean? Tampa Bay's run offense is not good, at least in my opinion. So if like you said, if they can get both those guys going, both on the ground and catching passes, I think this is going to be a vintage, you know, 30, 35-plus point game for the Cowboys, and I just don't know if the Bucks will be able to keep up.
No, I absolutely agree. I also think that the Cowboys win. The spread's only 3, so honestly, I truthfully think that the Cowboys should cover that with ease. But let's get to the X factors for the Bucks. For the Bucks to win, this game has to be low scoring. Like, I'm literally talking about both teams scoring less than 15 points mm-hmm. each. And yeah, like, that's very uncharacteristic. But how many times have we seen that with the Bucks this year, regardless of the opponent? So keep it low scoring. The Bucks need to have an answer for the running backs. They really do. You know, Tony Pollard, you know, he's going to be active in the pass catching game. Zeke's going to get it in the red zone and in between the tackles. Expect that. Make plays for that to not happen. You know, it is what it is. If you rely on Dak to throw the ball 35 times, there's going to be mistakes in those 35 times. It's going to happen. The last one, tire out the defense. It's extremely important for the Cowboys, right? The Bucs need to establish long drives to keep that Cowboys defense on the field. Look, they have playmakers. Micah Parsons, one of the best in the NFL. Tank Lawrence, you know, you go to the defensive backs and you got Trayvon Diggs back there. If they get that defense tied and it's a low-scoring game, the Bucs have their recipe to win. Mm-hmm. So, Cowboys, it's on you. Mm-hmm. Get it done. Since the Sandbox fans, that is going to wrap things up for our wildcard weekend predictions. Going to be interesting to see what happens with our divisional preview X Factors next weekend, if I'm going to be all bloodied up. Kev might have to run the show next week, but yeah, but we'll see what happens. Since the Sandbox fans, enjoy wildcard weekend and go and check out the rest of the content. And of course, go and leave a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or SinceTheSandbox.net. Peace.